Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Theologian Henry Drummond, a contemporary of Mrs. Eddy's, published a book on love, The Greatest Thing in the World. She once said she had intended to write such a book herself, but Professor Drummond had done it so well that he had saved her the effort. The book is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Bible. He expounds how the spectrum of love has nine main, what he calls, ingredients: patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. He says these make up the supreme gift, the stature of the perfect man. I'm going to be taking the seventh ingredient, good temper, and through the readings of the Bible and Science and Health, The Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, discuss this aspect of love. This is what Drummond has to say on good temper. Love is not easily provoked. Nothing could be more striking than to find this here. We are inclined to look upon bad temper as a very harmless weakness. The Bible again and again returns to condemn it as one of the more destructive elements in human nature. The peculiarity of ill temper is that it is the vice of the virtuous. It is often the one blot on an otherwise noble character. Jealousy, anger, pride, uncharity, cruelty, self-righteousness, touchiness, doggedness, sullenness, these are the ingredients of this dark and loveless soul. In varying proportions also, these are the ingredients of all ill temper. You will see then why temper is significant. It is not in what it is alone, but in what it reveals. It is a test for love, a symptom, a revelation of an unloving nature at the bottom. In a word, the lightning form of 100 hideous and unchristian sins. Hence, it is not enough to deal with the temper. We must go to the source and change the inmost nature, and the angry humors will die away of themselves. Souls are made sweet not by taking the acid fluids out, but by putting something in, a great love, a new spirit, the spirit of Christ. Now let's begin our service by singing hymn number 222. I'll read the third verse. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meekness will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. Hymn number 222. read from the Bible. 1 Corinthians, love is patient and kind. It is not irritable. Leviticus, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Genesis. The man lay with his wife Eve, and she was going to have a child, and she gave birth to Cain. She said, I have given birth to a man with the help of the Lord. Next, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was one who worked the ground. The day came when Cain brought a gift of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, but Abel brought a gift of the firstborn of his flocks and of the fat parts. The Lord showed favor to Abel and his gift, but he had no respect for Cain and his gift. So Cain became very angry, and his face became sad. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why are you looking down? Will not your face be happy if you do well? If you do not do well, sin is waiting to destroy you. Its desire is to rule over you, but you must rule over it. Cain told this to his brother Abel, and when they were in the field, Cain stood up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Psalms. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Luke. Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So the father agreed to divide his wealth between his brothers. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. James. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Matthew. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me. I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. "Be patient with me, and I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Luke. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached and led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples, Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, "Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords." And one of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priest, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him. "Am I some dangerous revolutionary," he asked, "that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me?" Romans. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. sword, the idea of truth, justice, revenge, anger. Truth is a two-edged sword, guarding and guiding. Truth places the cherub wisdom at the gate of understanding to note the proper guests. Radiant with mercy and justice, the sword of truth gleams afar and indicates the infinite distance between truth and error, between the material and spiritual, the unreal and the real. The tree of life stands for the idea of truth, and the sword which guards it is a type of divine science. The tree of knowledge stands for the erroneous doctrine that the knowledge of evil is as real, hence as God bestowed, as the knowledge of good. The two-edged sword of truth must turn in every direction to guard the tree of life. Sin makes deadly thrusts at the Christian scientist as ritualism and creed are summoned to give place to higher law. But science will ameliorate mortal malice. The Christianly scientific man reflects the divine law, thus becoming a law unto himself. He does violence to no man. Neither is he a false accuser. The Christian scientist wisely shapes his course and is honest and consistent in following the leadings of divine mind. He must prove through living as well as healing and teaching that Christ's way is the only one by which mortals are radically saved from sin and sickness. Reform comes by understanding that there is no abiding pleasure in evil, and also by gaining an affection for good according to science, which reveals the immortal fact that neither pleasure nor pain, appetite nor passion can exist in or of matter, while divine mind can and does destroy the false beliefs of pleasure, pain, or fear, and all the sinful appetites of the human mind. What a pitiful sight is malice, finding pleasure in revenge. Evil is sometimes a man's highest conception of right, until his grasp on good grows stronger. Then he loses pleasure in wickedness, and it becomes his torment. The way to escape the misery of sin is to cease sinning. There is no other way. Sin is the image of the beast to be effaced by the sweat of agony. It is a moral madness which rushes forth to clamor with midnight and tempest. Resist evil, error of every sort, and it will flee from you. Error is opposed to life. We can and ultimately shall so rise as to avail ourselves in every direction of the supremacy of truth over error. Life over death, good over evil, and this growth will go on until we arrive at the fullness of God's idea, and no more fear that we shall be sick and die. Inharmony of any kind involves weakness and suffering, a loss of control over the body. This normal control is gained through divine strength and understanding. Man's enslavement to the most relentless masters, passion, selfishness, envy, hatred, and revenge, is conquered only by a mighty struggle. Every hour of delay makes the struggle more severe. If man is not victorious over the passions They crush out happiness, health, and manhood. Here, Christian Science is the sovereign panacea, giving strength to the weakness of mortal mind, strength from the immortal and omnipotent mind, lifting humanity above itself into purer desires, even into spiritual power and goodwill to men. Let the slave of wrong desire learn the lessons of Christian Science, and he will get the better of that desire and ascend a degree in the scale of health, happiness, and existence. As aforetime, the Spirit of the Christ, which taketh away the ceremonies and doctrines of men, is not accepted until the hearts of men are made ready for it. The very circumstance which your suffering sense deems wrathful and afflictive, love can make an angel entertained unawares. Self-love is more opaque than a solid body, and patient obedience to a patient God. Let us labor to dissolve with the universal solvent of love, the adamant of error. Self-will, self-justification, and self-love, which wars against spirituality and is the law of sin and death. Human hate has no legitimate mandate and no kingdom. Love is enthroned. That evil or matter has neither intelligence nor power is the doctrine of absolute Christian Science. And this is the great truth which strips all disguise from error. Love for God and man is the true incentive in both healing and teaching. Love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Right motives give pinions to thought and strength and freedom to speech and action. Love is priestess at the altar of truth. The suppositional warfare between truth and error is only the mental conflict between the evidence of the spiritual senses and the testimony of the material senses. And this warfare between the spirit and the flesh will settle all questions through faith in and the understanding of divine love. Jesus' prayer, "Forgive us our debts," specified also the terms of forgiveness. To suppose that God forgives or punishes sin according as his mercy is sought or unsought is to misunderstand love and to make prayer the safety valve for wrongdoing. Jesus uncovered and rebuked sin before he cast it out. Divine love corrects and governs man. Men may pardon, but this divine principle alone reforms the sinner. God is not separate from the wisdom he bestows. The talents he gives, we must improve. Calling on him to forgive our work badly done or left undone implies the vain supposition that we have nothing to do but to ask pardon and that afterwards we shall be free to repeat the offense. To cause suffering as the result of sin is the means of destroying sin. Every supposed pleasure in sin will furnish more than its equivalent of pain until belief in material life and sin is destroyed. To reach heaven, the harmony of being, we must understand the divine principle of being. God is love. More than this, we cannot ask. Higher, we cannot look farther we cannot go. Divine love is infinite. Therefore, all that really exists is in and of God and manifests His love. Now let's have a few moments of silent prayer and pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing another hymn. 376. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for Thy correcting rod, which guides us in our journey and leads us home to God. It tells us not of anger, the weapon's mortal sway, but love divine that helps us to keep the better way. Hymn number 376. Good evening again, and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line. Just have a couple of reminders. Fifth Church is holding their annual Christmas celebration concert this Friday at 7:30 at their church. That's on the corner of College and 62nd Street. So that is an event you won't want to miss. And then also coming up is the Principia Club Christmas, their annual Christmas sing. This is going to be on Sunday, December the 15th, right after church around noon. It will be held here, and there will be lunch provided. You just have to RSVP to me, either at jeanbates@me.com or call me. The information is out in the foyer if you need my telephone number. asking to bring out a half a dozen cookies, but you don't need to. We always have tons of cookies left over. So just come and bring your friends and family. Everybody's welcome to attend. There will be calendars and note cards available for purchase for $10 as well. So hope you can come and join us for our annual printing. It's now your turn to share any thoughts or healings that you like. Gloria has the microphone. And if you feel more comfortable staying seated, please feel free to do that as well. Now it's your turn.
I would like to thank you for the reading from the desk tonight. They really struck home with some experiences we've had lately. One of the things that I really appreciate also is on Sunday how you kind of summarized, do a brief summary of some of the testimonies from the Wednesday night before. And even though I wasn't here last Wednesday night, you did summarize on Sunday an experience someone had with a tornado that was very close to them, and how they were protected from that. And it reminded me of an experience we had had a year ago last September. Our home in Florida had been severely hit with a hurricane. And there was lots and lots of damage. And I found that tonight there were some readings about patience. And I had to really work on that in God's guidance and patience. So a lot of interesting things happened, a lot of lessons I learned from that journey that we had with that experience. And it happened in September, and it was very interesting because some of the things that we were going to be selling the house down the road anyway, but there were so many things that needed to be done before we sold it. And it was interesting that many of those things were the things that were damaged by the hurricane. So I had to really work on working with the insurance company, which was quite a challenge. And I'd given all the information to the insurance company over many, many phone conversations. And then about November, I had heard back from her and found that she was no longer there, and all the information I'd given her was gone. So they gave me a new adjuster. And here again, I had to really work on patience. And so I worked with the next adjuster the last few months, and I realized that I need to have everything put in writing at that point. So everything was put in writing, and then when I called the last part of January, he too was no longer with the company. So, but I had everything in writing, and everything worked out eventually. I had to learn patience again, but worked out with the insurance company. So all the things that really needed to be addressed before we put the house on the market, new roof, countless things, we were able to pay for them through the insurance money. So it all worked out very well, and the roof was replaced in June, which was a lot longer than I had anticipated, but it was perfect timing. And we put the house on the market right away, and it sold. And it probably wouldn't have brought the amount it did, or it wouldn't have sold as quickly as it did if it wouldn't have been for the hurricane. And so how it actually ended up for us becoming a blessing, and knowing all the way through that God was in control. And it was interesting, one particular thing, there was a tree that was kind of protected, but I always thought, we really need to take that little tree down, and I have no idea how the hurricane happened to take that away. But even that little tree was removed, and I don't understand how that happened, but it did, and it was interesting how much I learned from that experience. And I know that God is always in control, and I had to continually say, be patient, and God is always in control. And I am so thankful for Christian Science. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how many of you follow Evan Mellenbach Oscar's blog, or not, but he just happened this week to have one on responding nicely. And this is what he said. If you're ever tempted to get upset over another person's actions, you can choose to stay calm instead. You are never helpless. Demeanor is a choice. And you possess God-given ability to make good choices when faced with options. The human mind often justifies getting angry in the false belief that I can't help it. But that is not true. Anger is not compulsive. It is not a mind of its own that can control our thinking and make us upset. Anger is an animal propensity of the mortal mind that can be mastered and shut down. As children of God, we possess the mind of God that is in control of its own thoughts. We have God-given ability to respond to adversity with authority and dominion, and to not get carried away by emotions of the moment. We can stay calm, listen to God's direction, then act in a way that brings positive results. Choose calm over upset. It's the more peaceful way to live. So I thought that was sort of cool that was this week with my lesson. So I wanted to share that with you all.
I recently was involved in some activity over one of the local banks, and I've done a lot of business there, and most of them know me pretty well in that particular branch. And a young lady took me into her office, and she said, I want to talk to you a minute. I understand that you help people dispose of things, jewelry and what have you, and silver and so forth. And she said, I'm in a situation where I need to get rid of some of those things. And I just think that you seem to have such a positive way about you. And who trained you and so forth? And I said, well, frankly, and I went out, got up and shut her door. And I said, I want to tell you about my training. I was raised Christian Scientist. And that church is based on love. And I said, at the front of the church, dead center, it says, God is love. And you have to believe that. And then the founder of our religion also said, divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. And I believe that, and I trust in that, and that is also on the wall in the church. And she said, that is so comforting. No wonder. And I said, it isn't a wonder. With those thoughts and holding those thoughts, you can meet any need that you have with the thought of God is love. He loves you. He loves the people you're dealing with. And that divine love will direct you and guide you and support you in all of your activities, including those here at the bank. So she has since called me, and I'm going to do some other things to help her out. But she said, I just so respect the thought that you have regarding your relationship to God. And I said, well, without it, I don't know where I would be, frankly. And it's true. And so I'm grateful for the foundation that we're given in this church. and the understanding of God is love and protects us all. Thank you.
Thank you.
That previous testimony prompts me to recall that I found myself going to Keystone at the Crossing and wound up in a store, and there really wasn't anyone else in the department where I was except the woman that was there to help any customers. And we wound up having a real interesting conversation. She was sharing, she used to live in New York and California, et cetera, and shared some of her experience, and then was saying that she's thinking about where her career should go at this point. And I was able to share some quotations from Science and Health, like expectation speeds our progress. And then I identified myself as a Christian Scientist. And what prompted this was she mentioned God first, and then it evolved from there. And that to me was an opportunity that she would be receptive to thoughts that I could share. And I did mention that I was a Christian Scientist, and there were some good exchanges, and she was grateful. And we exchanged business cards, and who knows where it will go, but it was a happy exchange. And I was grateful that she gave the opener when she mentioned God, that I was able to share truths and mention that I'm a Christian Scientist. And then another experience that I had today, which is just fun to share. Some time ago, when I was in Colorado, I met someone in the Christian Science Church there, and she had given me her card, and today I was listening to the, at the reading room, I was listening to the Mother Church Wednesday testimony meeting, and I got a call on my cell phone, and at first the number looked kind of funny, and I thought, I'm not sure that that's one I need to answer, but the call came back in again, and so I answered it, and it turned out that this was the woman that I met in Colorado. I don't know whether it was a year ago or when, but I had emailed her, and she was calling me, and it's so interesting. She lives in Mexico. She's an American, but she lives in Mexico and actually has a daughter that lives part-time not far from where our home is there. And meanwhile, she is first reader in, help me explain, Guadalajara. Is that the correct pronunciation? And she drives an hour to get to church. And she was, in the course of our conversation, she was getting ready to go because there was a Wednesday meeting where she needed to be there. And my goodness, what dedication to be driving an hour and serving the Christian Science movement in that way. And just, I think, very impressive to realize that the truth is marching on, wherever it may be, whether it's at the bank, whether it's at Keystone at the Crossing, or in Mexico. And I'm just very grateful for Christian Science, and thank you for your readings.
Thank you. Well, I think we're all done. So let's conclude our service by singing our last hymn, 236. I'll read the last verse. Our God is one mind, the mind we adore. Ineffable joy his love doth outpour. Let nations be one in a union of love. God's bountiful peace, all earth's treasures above. Hymn number 236.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.